Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Thank you, Father God.
Pastor Mahesh.
Yes.
As we head into Reformation Sunday, in light of all of the news and the visions of all these storms that are suddenly happening everywhere and so affecting the U.S. and her neighbors. Actually, when you think of the Reformation and of Luther's life, as we saw demonstrated today, we could call this the storm that changed the world.
That's very good.
And that little phrase came to me this morning, thinking about what happened to Luther, much like Saul's conversion, but going through a terrible storm, almost hit by lightning, literally knocked off his donkey, as we saw, or his King James language. It occurred to me that in every storm, whether it's a spiritual storm, an economic storm, a natural disaster, in every storm, God is present and working to make all of the broken threads come together for good and for his glory. And in fact, potentially, even today, the example of a storm changing the world through Luther's life and his experience in that storm. We each have an opportunity in every season, but particularly in this season of storms, to allow the Word of God, our personal relationship with Jesus, to impact us in such a way that we also, like a pebble dropped in a pond, began to, if you will, make waves, whether we intend to or not, but that the ripple effect of our faith may be refreshed specifically through the experience of storms of various kinds and encounter them in such a way that the gospel goes out from us individually and corporately all the more. So the Reformation was a storm that changed the world.
Talk about the storm. We just also want to, we gave some extensive time of prayer on Friday night, but we want to continue to speak God's covering and blessing Amen. Over Northern California.
Yeah.
That there are hundreds still suffering from the fires that have taken place. Talk about a firestorm that has overwhelmed that area. Many, many hundreds of thousands of acres have been under this just a major fire all across, and we just pray that the winds will cease. The Diablo winds? Diablo.
Yes, they're actually called the Diablo, means devil, winds.
Winds.
It's a phenomenon that's related to the ocean breezes and the mountain topography, so on and so forth, that it occurs but is particularly violent right now. And interestingly enough, for a long time previous to this season, these winds are called the devil winds.
Yes, so we just pray God's mercy over those people who are living. I shared about a story that the fires were far away, so this couple in their 60s went to bed, and then they got a call, you better see if you can get out because the fires are right there next day. And as they saw, the pathway was all blocked. The only thing they could do there was they went to a neighbor's pool and submerged themselves. And hours they were there shivering but holding on to each other and having wet T-shirts on their heads. But they were able to survive. But it's quite critical. So may the Lord cover the people and may the ill winds be bound up.
Amen, Lord.
So the rescue units
Amen,
and the fire Lord. People, may the God help them and have show mercy for those and the fires cease. We send our prayers and our covering to those people right now. Hallelujah. I want to share a scripture with you on this. As we honor, this is this month, this October, is exactly 500 years anniversary. It's not approximately. In October 31, in 1517, 500 years ago, Luther nailed those 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church at Wittenberg. And in that context, number one, I wanted to share a scripture in Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, starting with verse 35. It says, "Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." Say, "Jesus of Nazareth."
Jesus of Nazareth.
"Is passing by."
Is passing by.
"And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet." Hush. "But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me." Doesn't matter what else, what people are saying, or they're embarrassed, or whatever. We continue to cry out to the Lord. And never let others keep you from crying out to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Son of David, say, "Son of David."
Son of David.
"Have mercy on us."
Have mercy on us.
So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked them for verse 41, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, this is one of the small comedy scenes I see in the Bible. It'd be if they were like, I'm sure the blind man wasn't feeling like a comedy act, but he's coming like this, and people are helping him, and Jesus asks him, "And what do you want today?" So, guess what? I take three guesses. I'm sorry, Lord. But there is a reason why he's asking. There's a logic, I think. And that's what I would ask you. What do you want today? Jesus, let's home in and not be scattershot. We need to learn to be specific in our prayer. You have authority. Say, "I have authority."
I have authority.
God, Jesus, in his name, said, "You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." I believe that God wants to clarify your vision. God wants to clarify your goals. God wants to clarify the goals of the church for us also, and for the commission that God has given us. God wants to give you today clarity and wants to give you supernatural answers as clarity comes.
Thank you, Lord.
So part of our, God wants to take away, just as he did 500 years ago, blindness from really the universal church. A kind of blindness had come on the whole corporate church, and it had weakened them, had gotten all kinds of junk in there, and God wanted to bring clarity again and deliver us from spiritual blindness, the whole church, really. And so, what do you want me to do? What do you want Jesus to do today for you, for your family? Let's be specific. And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Specific request. We are focused on these particular goals. We have got a lot of other things, but we can get distracted by several things. And then we have the media, we have the culture forces, and we get so, we are shooting at things that don't matter, and the specific things that you need, we need to pray and ask the Lord. Sometimes we don't aim on those things. So God wants us to give us clarity. He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight." Then he says, "Your faith has made you well." Often we need to examine, and part of it of what we want to emphasize even today is that our individual and then our community and corporate faith God wants to strengthen you in your faith. Get recharge our faith vision and renew it. We need to get back the spirit of the Lion of Judah and learn to roar towards our goal. So that receive your faith has made you well. Invariably you find that wherever healing takes place, it is part of the reason, and God wants to do that for you today, is to refresh and renew and re-energize your faith. Say, it's my faith.
It's my faith.
Makes me well.
Makes me well.
Makes me have my inheritance.
Makes me have my inheritance.
So inheritance is there, but we have to renew our faith to get hold of that inheritance. The blessings of Abraham are mine today and belong to my children. Glory to God. The promised land provision. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God.
Yeah.
And all the people, when they saw it, they praised to God. And that's part of it, is that God wants us to walk, wants for us to walk in victory. I'm reading some figures, even in the last several days, that we have the unemployment. God is answering it in this nation. That it
Thank you, Lord.
The figures are such, it's indicating that we have less unemployment than it's the employment is returning. So we have not seen this level of employment for 17 years. So God is bringing back jobs. I remember writing a focus for over the last many years. Lord, renew our economy.
Yeah.
Revive our economy. Yeah. Give jobs. And
thank
God
you,
is
Lord.
Doing that.
Thank
so
you.
We want to recognize and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Secondarily, in that context, now, we are one of the most generous nations. We go and help other nations, but we take care of people who are needy, that no one needs to be starving in our country. So the government has provided, through the generous hearts of Americans everywhere, we have provided for those in need food stamps. But right now, there is such an abundant supply in our economy that this is the lowest number of food stamps that have been being claimed.
Thank you, Jesus.
That there is
finally,
such provision
Lord.
That it is reduced considerably.
Thank
what the government
you, Lord.
Has because the people are doing
thank
it.
Thank you,
and there
Lord,
is
yes.
So we want to recognize, thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you,
and
Lord.
And start thanking him
thank
for
you,
that.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So, and part of what we enjoy then, we want to, in this nation, that in its founding and in its constitution, what happened and the things we learned in the Protestant Reformation, what it began with Martin Luther at the Wittenberg door in Germany, the 95 Theses. It was suddenly like this young monk and priest, he was a theologian, he was a student of the Word of God, and you find that there was such darkness had come in through the Middle Ages over the church, and corruption had come in. By the way, as we speak in this realm, I'd want to say we have tremendous and wonderful relationship with the Catholic Church. And I've done many meetings with the Catholics, meaning they're inviting me to be part of that. And many Catholics come to our conferences. And now there is such a blending. And the God has healed those divisions that have been there, I believe, God, in the spirit realm. And through the Holy Spirit, our purposes are the same. So, but as we look honestly at history, there was a lot of junk and corruption that entered into the larger context of there was only one church at that time, and it was the Roman Catholic Church. And a lot of stuff had entered in. One of them was this whole thing of indulgences and the there was a guy that there was a quote that basically Luther was disgusted by the kind of corruption that they went after. You could buy, the indulgences was that you could buy your salvation, if I can summarize it, and then get people out of purgatory by giving in offerings. There was a quote that the guy Tetzel, I believe, was there. Yeah, Johann Tetzel, a Dominican priest who tried to raise funds for St. Peter's Basilica, the cathedral there, and he claimed to be selling relief from sufferings and purgatory, not only for sinners still living, but also for those who had died. And a jingle attributed to Tetzel claimed, "As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs." There were things like that. And Luther was a man of integrity, and he said, this keeping people away from a living faith in Jesus Christ. So he was not trying to divide, cause division. He just wanted a debate, a discussion. Look, guys, we're going the wrong way. This is not the way to lead people into a saving faith of Jesus Christ. So this, it began something major that changed society, changed nation, shaped culture. This is how it began, where people started appreciating the Word of God.
Yes, and from it we get what is known in our church context as the five solas, which means something alone. Say alone. And we want to talk about those today. The thing that I would just add on the end is kind of the wrap-up of what happened in the Reformation. And that was in terms of Luther's own personal experience and his testimony, that he was so ardently committed to, at that time, what were the sacraments and obedience to the observances of the practices of the church, including depriving himself in every way you can imagine, also including literally beating himself, flagellating himself to suffer for his sins. He would spend as much as 6 hours with his confessor confessing sins every day until finally the confessor just said, "Stop it, enough already." And yet his conscience remained in dread of the wrath of God and unassuaged, if you will.
And only priests were allowed to read the Bible.
Correct.
And the services, this should make you very thankful you live in this period. The services, you would have to sit in the services. You had to come. Otherwise, if you stopped attending church, you would get excommunicated. So you sit, but the service would be 4 to 6 hours long in Latin.
Right,
so which most nobody people would understand. Not understand.
Yeah.
And yet they would have to sit 4 to 6 hours. Go ahead.
Listening. And so actually there were two things that God had already begun to do that were a tremendous piece of the Reformation, and one was in the 1300s with Wycliffe and translating the Bible. And he died for his faith. He died for the mission and vision of every man being able to ultimately get the Bible and be able to read it. And then Gutenberg invented the printing press. And of course, we saw demonstrated again this morning that when Luther nailed the 95 theses, which is summed in the five solas, these five aspects that the gospel points out as to how salvation comes through Christ, when he nailed that to the church door, which, by the way, in those days was the town bulletin board. So that's where you found out what was happening in the community and got all the announcements and stuff. So he put his poster up there because that's where everybody came by to read it. And it was an invitation to the church authorities to have a conversation about what had happened to Luther by experience as he began to meditate on Romans 1:17 in the Bible that says, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and this is the phrase, the just shall live by his faith. Let's say that together. The just shall live by his faith. And we know that that comes from Abraham. Remember Abraham's story, and Abraham is that clear exemplification by God prior to the law of Moses being given, that there is justification with God, righteousness, right relationship with him through faith. And of course, we know that it was beginning to point to what would be accomplished in Christ. But Luther said that meditating on the fact that the just shall live by faith, in great contrast to all of these things that he was imposing on his body and trying to fulfill according to the ordinances of the church at that point, he said, meditating on it day and night, then I began to understand the righteousness of God as a righteousness by which a just man lives is by a gift. Look at your neighbor and say, you've received a gift. Is a gift of God that means by faith, I realized that it was to be understood in this way. The righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. Namely, the so-called passive righteousness we receive. Say, we receive righteousness. By which God justifies by faith through grace and mercy. And here it is. Now I felt as if I had been born again. So the very first use of what has become the common language for the evangelical church especially. Now I felt as if I had been born again. The gates had opened and I had entered paradise itself. And of course that makes us think of Hebrews that says, through the veil, which is his flesh, through the blood of Jesus, a new and living way has been opened for us. Hallelujah.
So the five solas, I want to summarize those and then maybe we can amplify that. By the way, we want to mention that in this context, as we celebrate the 500 years, that this began, there was a revolution in a godly way that most of you own. I mean, in our home, we have about 30, 40 Bibles of different kinds, different versions. I have several. One I just found recently that I had that was King James on one side and Amplified 200. On the other. Mm-hmm. When I first found Amplified, that was in 1972. I said, this is heaven. Amplified.
But suddenly the word was a symphony. I know. It had gone from a single instrument to just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. So
it was the popular version then.
Honoring
charismatics.
Yeah, it was alive for us. And then there were other ones. I mean, most recent one, the Message Bible, was fun to read in a way you could understand it. Though it's not totally accurate. The King James is still, for me, the foundational ones. I love the King James as the hook, the anchor. But like Bonnie mentioned, John Wycliffe, 1371, he translated the Bible into common English language. Yeah. And by the way, Luther translated from the Latin, he translated into German language. And our mentor, Derek Prince, he loved the German Bible, and I understand some German, but there was the translations in German are some of the most accurate translations.
And it so spoke to Derek, but it was funny. He said, the one thing that I have a really hard time with imagining in my head or hearing scripture when it says Achtung. And he says, somehow at that point, my brain kind of torques, and then I go back, but otherwise that the German language, because unlike some of the English words, the German language makes a differentiation where we have one word that means several things, and so sometimes it can kind of be foggy. The German language delineates very clearly between things.
But just think, if you were living 550 years ago, let's say, that the only way you could have understanding of the Bible, there was not a Bible available except in Latin. It was not allowed. And so the Reformation brought all this available to you. That's why we are taking note of this, that the Word of God, and it is among the five solas. Well, I'll come to that in a moment. I wanted to mention with Wycliffe was also another great hero of the Reformation, was John Huss, and who was, some of these guys were executed for wanting more understanding and more of the Word of God. And at the same time that Luther was doing his thing, Zwingli was active in Switzerland. And we have been in his church several times and been there at the baptismal font. And that cathedral is still impressive. And you can feel the presence of revival right there in that place. Gary and Lilo Keller, our great friends, were very instrumental in present-day revival in Switzerland. We're going to see them in a few weeks. But these are some of the heroes that we need to kind of just remember and take note and give thanks for their lives. And, Amen. Of course, Calvin. But the five solas was, number one, solus Christus, by Christ alone. Say, solus Christus.
Solus Christus.
So this is where our belief, there are five pillars that hold up the roof of God's church.
It's good.
With Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. This is how, this is the strength of your faith, is through the five solas. And if one of those is removed, then the whole structure collapses. Mm-hmm. There are five pillars. Otherwise, the roof will fall. So, solas Christus, by Christ alone. Wanted to give you the scripture here in 2 Timothy. Let me read to you. Second Timothy, verse 10, where Paul the Apostle says to us, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch," and so on and so forth. "What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So, it is Scripture alone. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, Scripture alone, for our foundation among the five foundations is Scripture alone.
Meaning, when Scripture speaks, it is God speaking. Hold up your Bible. Say, "This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. Today, my Heavenly Father speaks directly to me through my Bible."
And your Bible can be your iPhone, too.
Well, that is true. I saw how many of us had these ones. But it goes back to a combining of two powerful images in Scripture. One is God with Israel at Sinai, and the other one is through Jesus Christ on Calvary, on the mountain, and the demonstration there. And then, of course, what Hebrews says, that through that open door, we have now come to Mount Zion. And so it's there that God is speaking to us. And one of the amazing things about that is that in Deuteronomy 4, when God tells Moses to bring the people, he says, bring the people near that I may let them hear my word. It is a privilege that God in his humility has chosen to speak to us and reveal himself. And moreover, to ultimately assume human flesh, become a human being in order that we might see him in his form, see God as he is, and through him be reconciled to God. It's absolutely stunning. Say it's a privilege. Look at your neighbor and say it's a privilege.
It's a privilege.
To have this word, to hear the word. And it was in that context then when Luther challenged or was challenged by the church authorities that were relying on other things as the authority and power of salvation. Luther simply said, I am bound by Scripture. I am bound by Scripture. And this speaks absolutely today when the currents of post-postmodernism are telling us and telling our children that we must not only celebrate but institutionalize things that are in abject rebellion to what God has said. And I'll give you a couple of them right off the top of my head. In the beginning, God created man in his image and likeness, male and female, he made them. That entire premise, that entire revelation is being opposed, objected to in our own cities. That is the struggle that was at the heart of much of what went on in Charlotte and is going on in Charlotte and the surrounding areas right now, at the crossroads of the legislative debates, the political elections, and all of that, is that modern culture is saying something other than what God himself has said. That number one, I'll give you a form. That means you'll have a head and a body and arms and legs and hands and feet like the pre-existent, pre-incarnate Son, eternal Son. And number two, you will be male and female in my image and likeness with an internal nature and character that is a reflection of God. And we know, of course, that when Adam decided and Eve decided there was another authority higher than the Word of God, sin entered. And that inner likeness became darkened.
So it doesn't matter what you feel like.
That's correct.
You can sing the song, I feel like a woman.
You can. You know, and interestingly enough, Mahesh, I have to put this plug in to all of the local folks. We have an election, local election coming up November 7th. We've got a lot of work that we're doing that you can find out where you can get informed, get to know the candidates. It's very important. We just came through a runoff in our primaries in the Charlotte area for our city council. The school board is coming up, and I'll tell you, the city council, the human rights campaign, the equality left movements have targeted Charlotte to take over our local city government and not only put in legislation about the sexual orientation gender identity laws, but also to take over our school board. And they're already putting curriculums called welcoming schools that are teaching our children about to accept transgenderism. So I'm saying that in the context, this is the Reformation was about literal culture reform with Scripture first, Scripture alone being that to which we are bound. And Christians, Scripture binds us and binds our vote to Scripture. And so.
But, you know, the modern.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. But the way the propaganda has gone, it's almost like makes you feel like you are bigoted or intolerant if you do not accept that. Whereas we are really leading people into the pathways of darkness and self-destruction. The head psychiatrist who just retired from, I believe,
John Hopkins
School, he said, and he is an expert. I mean, he was expert in all these things. He said, just almost none of this has ever worked for people who think, you know, their DNA, the way they were born, was one way, and then they try to do all kinds of surgeries and hormones and all that, but it's a pathway to destruction. It's just...
They specifically said these people are perpetrating child abuse and named it specifically child abuse. And of course,
it is by scripture alone. And the second word is solus gratia, by grace alone. Say grace.
Grace.
So the Lord, if there is in scripture where it says, and you... You he made alive, Ephesians chapter 2, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. And it goes on, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Say, he loves me.
He loves me.
So because he loves us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that by the grace of God today, by grace alone, say grace alone.
Grace alone.
So in opposition to other things like indulgences where you buy something, you cannot buy yourself. And God says it is through the work of Jesus Christ, by my grace alone, by mercy. That's why you cannot earn this. It's the grace of God that it is a gift. It is a gift of God, and no human effort or work can save you. It is the work of the finished work of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That is saved by grace. Say, by grace alone.
By grace alone.
And the third solus is sola fide, by faith alone, as Bonnie talked about, faith. And then
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Again.
Yes.
You just read it. that's the line there. And it's simple. It's simple enough for a child. It's simple enough for our little children to enter into it. And at the same time, it's profoundly deep in terms of the revelation of who God is and his nature and character. And this simple one line right there about grace and faith for our salvation is a deeper revelation about the sovereign free will of God, revealing him and his humility and his generosity and his yearning, his bending over the human race and going to the nth degree to bring us back to himself. There's so many things about the depth of it. It moves into the ideas and actually theologies trying to talk about the work of salvation as substitutionary, where Jesus became the entire and total sacrifice in our stead, so that there was a great exchange actually made on the cross. And the Bible says, just amazingly and cosmically, it says that you died in Christ 2,000 years ago. And when he came up out of the grave, you came up out of the grave with him 2,000 years ago. And when he ascended and sat down at the right hand of God the Father, you ascended and sat down at the right hand of God in Christ 2,000 years ago. And so if we allow the reality of the glory bubble, as Pastor Mahesh says, the reality of what is revealed to us and given to us, received as a gift from Christ, if we allow that to just smack us again, to, you know, come into us and osmose into our cells, into our thinking, illuminate our thinking and get our will, you know, lined up with the will of God. I think of what Jesus said when he quoted the Psalms, where he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared. And then I said, behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written to me, I've come to do your will, O God. So to, you know, to bring a unity in who we are as human beings. And these simple things actually are speaking to a much greater depth and riches of our experience of salvation. So our experience, just like Luther's experience of these realities, is very important. And it's not just important for transforming us, But it's important that we might become reformers, if you will. And our culture in the West that actually was birthed and originally formed and created by this very Reformation now has gone so far away that we are due for a new revolutionary Reformation.
Amen.
Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. Yeah.
So, here are the five solas. Solas Christus, by Christ alone.
By Christ alone.
Solas gratia, by grace alone.
By grace alone.
So, say Christ, by Christ alone.
By Christ alone.
Number one. Number two, solas gratia, by grace alone.
By
say,
grace,
by grace alone.
Alone.
Thirdly, solas fidei, by faith alone. And then, number four, solas scriptura, scriptura, by scripture alone. And by that, the part of the sense is, it's the word of God that we call the Bible. It's not by, there are some nice spiritual books from other cultures like the Gita, or the Quran, or the Buddhist teachings and all that. But only by the word of God that you see the Bible given by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By that word alone, you are able to come into salvation. No other writings can benefit you like that. And then number fifth solace is by solus Deo Gloria. By glory to God alone. We give all glory to God for our salvation, because He is the one who has made it possible, and He deserves our love, our praise, our worship. Hallelujah. So these are the five solas that begun and inspired by Martin Luther and by the other heroes of the Reformation.
And what Luther understood by saying this last one, for the glory of God alone, he was embracing the other four and saying that anything other than salvation through Christ alone, based on the authority of Scripture alone, understanding we receive this free gift through the grace of God alone, and we exercise it by faith alone, coming into this salvation, that anything other than that robs God of His glory. And so, the fifth sola, for the glory of God alone. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for all those who sincerely hungered after you and literally
thank
gave
you.
Their lives so we could have
thank
the word
you.
Of God and have the knowledge
Gloria
of salvation. And Martin Luther is known
Lord,
for many hymns that he wrote, but one of the great hymns that he wrote, we're going to sing that as our
Lord.
Denouement, our final.
That's awesome. Yes.
Putting the crown on of the word today. We're going to sing one of my most favorite hymns. A mighty fortress is our God. It's kind of like a battle song. That. We are going to win. Tell your neighbor, you're going to win. Turn to your other neighbor and say, we have the victory. Glory to God.
And just as we begin to sing, I would like to invite especially all conservative women of color to join me as we are interfacing with the mayoral candidates and some other folks at the Ballantine Resort Hotel today. It's a free chili cook-off and barbecue, starts at 2. The candidates will take some questions, and then we will have an opportunity to sit down personally with one of the mayoral candidates from 2 to 4 at the Ballantine Resort. And I want to especially invite one of the most important voting constituencies for our city and surrounding region, and that is African American women. So please join
where,
me.
Where is
Ballantine
that?
Resort Hotel. In the lodge room, you can see
and
me.
And you get free chili?
Yeah, it's a candidate forum. You get free chili and free barbecue.
Cornbread?
I don't know. I haven't asked them about the full menu.
I might get dressed up.
As a conservative woman of color? Concerned woman of color? All right. Hallelujah.
You want to join me, Michael?
Oh, hallelujah.
No.
I like chili.
You're amazing. By faith alone.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
But you see how these things weave together in the symphony that is our lives. And so the Reformation means something to you in terms of you being engaged in your culture on the basis and the foundation, the root of these things, in order that our children and grandchildren, even as God told Moses, teach these things to your children and your grandchildren. And so it's critical that we become engaged in our culture so that someone else is not teaching our children and grandchildren another word.
You know, one of the things I admire about Luther is he was so real. But he had struggles with the enemy. Mm-hmm. But he identified the enemy. Sometimes he would throw things at the devil. Stop doing that. But he didn't think it was a figment of our imagination. There is a battle. That's why we need each other. That's why we need prayer and worship.
Amen.
And you need corporate worship. We need, all of that so that you can win the battle. Say, I'm going to win.
I'm going to win.
God is making me a winner.
God is making me a winner.
Glory to God. Let's all stand. Michael, you're going to lead us. All the team, a mighty fortress is our God.
A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood. A mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with
God's truth abideth.
you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want God's the healing and prophetic team come up here. Help if you need today. You need an extra zap. You need hands laid on you for healing, for release. If God is speaking to you, you need to give your life afresh to Jesus Christ, or you need the impartation, baptism, Holy Spirit. We are here to help you. Come on up and get prayer. We'll sing one more song. Michael, let's sing. And please come up, get prayer if you need prayer. Glory to God.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.